I'm confused about those two. So, Cisco has power state and this is JSP.
Well, this is the one we need for cables maintenance or for
testing. So right now I have the non-class.
I said three.
I can use hybrid.
Okay, so where'd Brendan go? Ah, prepared, brilliant.
What are you talking about?
Sex. Sex. No thanks, we're British.
Who's, we've got Bruce Badger here? Right, you're next.
L2TP termination software, which is a user space program. If you know what L2TP is, or if you don't know what L2TP is, it's a way of tunneling layer 2 traffic between devices. It's typically used for wholesaling dial-up or ADSL connections. I work for an ISP, and we're currently terminating NX bucket filtering, which is, again, user space code, IP packet filtering, and in our latest version, which is currently in CBS development, we've got IPv6 support, which is the PPv6 stuff. Outside of large-scale implementations like we've got, you can use it on a smaller scale. There's a bunch of people who are using it to do VPNs.
PBix, it consists of identity. Only you have your reputation. It consists of your educational background, your work history, and it also consists of what other people think of you. It's important. It's what gets you work. Don't have a reputation. You should talk to your mother. Okay, so open skills now. In open skills, we require that members have an open PGP key, which means that within the ISO is funded. It's a $20 a year membership fee, but that pays for all our servers and everything else. And, of course, it helps you get cool jobs and things like that. The reasons you wouldn't join, of course, is because you have a reputation which is already so big that you don't really want. Really, we're very small at the moment. We're in a kind of a chicken and egg situation. So what we need to do, of course, is encourage people to join Open Skills so that it makes it worthwhile for people to search the skills base. But people, of course, really want to join Open Skills when people are looking
in. We're now X, Y, Z, 1,000 points. We'll just do this manually, which takes forever and a day. We use a high-level Python-based modular simulation scripting language, which we're developing. It's designed to be independent of, because it's in Python, this is not really a performance language for a parallel processing environment. It just isn't. So it's designed to actually have in the ANU National Facility here, that's got 1,500 processors, to also use our software and be able to find the bugs that we can't, because our machine is too small. That would take too long to do.
Hey there. So for those people who haven't actually met me yet, my name's Scott James Remnant, and I'm partner in crime to Mr. Pierce Smith, if he's in the room. So about an hour or two later, I'd got the code Jeff was using, a little piece of software called Spicy Roll, and put it together, got the Debian one, found half a dozen or so blogs of Debian people, a mail from Jeff Wall, which went something like, "Dude, Planet Debian! Rah!" A little bit of software, and kind of started sending each other patches to the little... And its son came along. And Sun massively embraced blogging in a big way. Just from reading, like, the GNOME sites and the things like that. And so we have the planet Suns, planet Solaris, and so on and so forth. Curiously set up by a guy I nearly ended up working for. Would think that would be really cool. Junk again, you might notice a pattern here, and rewrote planet again. And so you get...
Hi, I'm Tim Ansell, and as about 20 of you know, one of the projects I work on is 1000 Parsec. It's a slight civilization in some ways as well. We're looking for more fancy C++, so whichever language you prefer, you can help out.
Just connect to 10 of them. Or if you want to just connect to those in Australia, you go au.pool.ntp.org. Currently, we are looking for additional participants. There are last time in the NSFU to hopefully, you know, make the pool just mix. Bringing this up on our prototype board, and Anthony has already talked a lot about bringing up new CPU, new hardware up earlier today. So, cell processor is basically just another PowerPC set. An SPU is, kind of DSP-like. Well, number crunching at a really fast speed. It's file system without disk backing. It's more like the proc file system or sys file system, or even like shared memory or some of the POSIX B. It's mapped to a logical SPU, so we abstract the concept of this physical SPU to load code into that SPU context.
Basically, anyone and everyone who wants to get involved in free software to do so to the best of their ability. We basically feel that free software cannot be truly universal until everyone has the granny test. You know, your grandmother can use it. But... So... Our intention is to sit down and actually hack on open source software, and their mentor will kind of act as their employer, if you like. You know, so they'll be able to provide work references, talk to potential employers. The nice thing about this is that students' TAFE exposure or experience, when they go into the workforce, will be able to say, well, I've spent 6 months hacking on, working on Microsoft software. They'll, you know, have that open source background and will be able to add to TAFE.
There are plans to rewrite for Solaris. It's also been used to do things like create statically linked executables from dynamic linked ones, so you run the program. JavaScript and open its file descriptors elsewhere. So if you started a process and you realize, damn,
nice is you have your mail on your home machine, on your work machine, on your laptop, on a web interface, whatever, read it, write it. It all synchronizes together, you keep a full record, and it all just works. No. Interesting. This is, in fact, because... unfortunately, this is a vaporware talk. I don't actually have any code here. And you can work out if there's been some conflict. You can tell there's a conflict. You can apply some kind of sensible way of resolving it, and you never, ever lose data, which is the good bit. Synchronizing is really easy because you just get every mail you don't have in store. You piece all the events together and work out what state of it is. I'd really like to do this because I'd really like to have this feature, but I just haven't got around to it.
Yeah. Okay. That will be here. In T2, we sucked Keith Packard into doing the re-architecture of the X-Window system again. That's in T2. How a processor is born, I think.
Rebooting. hardware. So I had to run over to the apartment and get that. I just got back as soon as we get all this stuff.
Okay.
45 minutes? 45 minutes, that's cool. Can you guys hear me on this one? Is it working? Smile. Thanks. Yeah, this is, that's fine. The rest of it should just plug in and turn on when I get there. Your satellites and tries to, you know, have fun on nights and weekends by bouncing radio signals off the moon and things like that. I spent a lot of time writing software for computer communications over amateur radio links side of the overall technical universe as I have pure software. Something that's sort of mostly geeky, a tad political without their input. Okay, so we'll start by talking just briefly about what software radio is in general to make sure everybody sort of understands what we're talking about. I'll then explain a little bit about what the GNU Radio project is, show you some interesting bits of hardware, and it's impossible to talk about software-defined radio stuff these days. GNU Radio thing all about. Out of curiosity, how many of you have codify and innovate in the communication space, which is a little bit beyond? And really, from my standpoint, this is a hobby. It's all about having fun. So if we look at the sort of how and radio concepts, you've got an antenna, you've got some kind of filter. On the receive side, oscillator, which means you have some, you know, reference frequency, you know, transistors and resistors and inductors, and more recently things like MMICs and other cute little pieces of electronic circuitry, and sort of tacking them together and, you know, trying to deal with all the analog. But at the end of the day, this is something for which the barrier to entry is pretty high on radio. Let's have an antenna. A front that it's impossible to design a completely generic one of these. There are always sort of bandwidth limits on reasonable amplifier and filter designs. And so software-defined radio today is sort of a compromise. And the sweet spot, so what can you do with this stuff? Well, any conventional radio thing like repeaters or, you know, monitoring slow scan TV transmissions from the space shuttle or cooperatively work with the cell site that you're currently talking to adaptively control the amount of power they're using in the transmission. If they don't do that, your battery goes flat really quickly. And that was a problem with a lot of early. You end up with much more efficient use of battery power. More people can cooperatively use, or having more of this sort of dynamically controllable. Imagine if